Many of you know that Adam went to a conference this week. It's called Pastor School. It's only basically for pastors, but a lot of lay people go as well. First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. I watched a lot of it on the internet. And their theme was getting back to the basics, getting back to the basics, getting back to the basics, getting back to the Great Commission. And I found that interesting as a theme because I was part of a conference call this week with some other Southern Baptist pastors, and we were hearing a report from the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force. They were commissioned at the convention last year, again, to bring recommendations how we can get back to the basics, getting back to the Great Commission, going out and preaching and teaching and baptizing the lost. The last night of pastor school, the host pastor, Brother Jack Scott, preached, and one of the illustrations he used really touched my heart. He told about a church they had started in Ghana, Africa, and they have, in the last few years, sent teams of missionaries, not just one to one place, but a group of people to go and start a church and to evangelize a given area. And so they sent a team to Ghana, and he was going to go visit them with a few people from the church. And he told the guy that was the head of the team in Ghana, he says, "Hey, you know, when I get there, I would like you to take me to a village that has never heard the gospel. I'd like you to find a place that we could go and go to a village that nobody's ever told them about Jesus." And so the head guy said, "I think I can arrange that." And so a few months later, they went, and they had, you know, they saw the work that was going on where they were. And the head of the mission said, "I found that village you asked me to find." He said, if you really want to go, we can go." And he said, "Yeah, I really want to go. I'd like to go to a place that's never heard the gospel." So he said they got on a bus, and they drove for 4 hours. And then they got off the bus and walked for about an hour, because the only way to get to the village was this little path. There was no road that you could get. And the tradition, I guess, of a lot of people over there is when you have guests in your villages, you exchange gifts. And so as the visiting folks, they presented some things, some books and Bibles that they had brought with them from the United States. And he said when the villagers got ready to give them gifts, to show their appreciation for coming, he said, "You know what they gave us? Cartons of Coca-Cola." Cartons of Coca-Cola. And here was his point. Here was his point. There was somebody at Coca-Cola that had more zeal, more passion, and more motivation to get a bottle of colored, flavored water to this village. Before somebody got the gospel there. Before somebody went there to tell them about Jesus. That just struck me through the heart. He then went on to tell about, of course, now his theme was, you know, if we're going to get back to the Great Commission, we got to have as much zeal and as much passion as these guys that are selling Coca-Cola for money. I mean, like Teresa's saying, we have the answer. We have the answer what will save people's souls. And some guys from Coca-Cola have more zeal to get their colored water to a place where there's no road, where you got to ride a bus for 4 hours and walk for an hour to get there, than we've had passion to get them the gospel. Of course, his theme of his message was, yeah, we need to get back to the basics. And we need to remember what kind of God we serve. We have a God that's greater than the board of directors at Coca-Cola. We have a God that knows more than the marketing people do at Coca-Cola. We have a purpose higher and greater than all the people that work at Coca-Cola, and yet they beat us to this village because they got Coca-Cola before they heard the gospel. He told about a used car salesman that was quite successful, and he was there. They actually introduced him to the group of people that were there, who at the age of 66 or so decided that God wanted him to do something more with his life. And so he quit selling cars, and he started an organization to start churches. He's 88 now. And in 20 years, they have started around the world 3,500 churches. A used car salesman, not a preacher, a used car salesman. 3,500 churches. And every church they start, and by the way, this organization has built buildings for them. Not big buildings, but they said the average size of their church is about 100. And they make a covenant with each church that they start that in the next 5 years, that church has to start three churches. 3,500 in 20 years. And then he had a man there. And he's in his 70s, I think. He's got cancer. They don't give him much time to live, but same sort of story. When he was in his early 30s, he's a businessman, a successful businessman, but he decided that God had called him to do something higher and more valuable than to just be in business. And so he walked away from his business, and again, in the space of about 50 years, he personally, has started 122 churches in the United States of America. And I thought, man, we still serve a great God. We still serve a God that if we would realize who he was and what he was capable of. And I thought to myself as I met these gentlemen over the internet and I heard Dr. Scott preach about Coca-Cola, I said, I wish I could catch his vision. I wish I could remember what kind of God we have. I wish I could remember what God wants us to do. You see, God's just looking for people that know what kind of God he is and who are willing to be obedient to what he's called us to do. And so as I was thinking about all that Friday night and thinking about today, I thought about this story in Matthew chapter 14 that we read together a moment ago. I saw the disciples in the middle of this storm. Isn't it funny? Most of the boats we read about in the Bible, they're involved in a storm. I was thinking about that this afternoon. They're involved in the storm. So they were in this storm. And the Bible says that Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And they were afraid. Thought it was a spirit. And Jesus said, just like the message he sent via Paul, we talked about this morning. He said, fear not. It's me. Don't be afraid. And then I thought about old Peter. Here's Peter. And Peter had a lot of bad characteristics. He was always saying things before he thought about them, and he was always he had a foot and mouth disease, just sticking his foot in a lot of times, saying stuff he shouldn't have said. And here's old Peter, and he sees Jesus walking on water, and he hears him say, "Fear not, it's me. Don't be afraid." And Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you. Let me come to you." And I think what Peter was saying is, "Hey, I need to be reminded, and so these guys in the boat with me, they need to be reminded what kind of God you are." They need to be reminded that you're an omnipotent God. They need to be reminded that you're a God that can do anything. They need to be reminded that you're a God that's not limited by bounds and restraints of this earth, that you're not limited by the possible. You can do anything you want. So if it's really you, let me come unto you. And Jesus said, okay, come on. And Peter got out and walked on water. He done something that no other man other than Christ, the God-man, had done. He walked on water. And I thought to myself, as I heard about this used car salesman that had started 3,500 churches in 20 years, I heard about, and I thought about that businessman that quit his business and has started 122 churches all by himself in 50 or so years. And I thought that, you know, that's the kind of people God's looking for. He's looking for people like Peter that would be willing to get out of the boat and try something nobody else has tried and walk on water. I don't believe Peter was the first water walker. I think there's a lot of water walkers that are in the pages of this book. I think Moses was a water walker when he took the rod and led a nation out of Egypt. I think Joshua was a water walker when he took Jericho without firing a single shot. I think Samson was a water walker when he took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 men at one time. I think Gideon was a water walker when he took 300 men and defeated an army of over 135,000, again, without any weapons, with just a light, a pitcher, and a horn. And he did something that proved to everybody that was there that God was God. And he wasn't limited by the possible. He was a God that could do the impossible. I think David was a water walker when he took a sling and killed Goliath. I think Elijah was a water walker when he defeated 400 prophets of Baal and prayed down fire from heaven. I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were water walkers when they said, "No, King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow down and worship this idol. We serve a living God, and if he kills us in the fiery furnace, so be it. But we're not going to worship your idol." Water walkers have always been part of God's plan. Always. D.L. Moody was a water walker when he stopped selling shoes. And he took the continent of America and he took the continent of England and he shook it for God. Billy Sunday was a water walker when he quit playing baseball for the Chicago White Sox and started pitching tents and started preaching and calling men and women and boys and girls down the Sawdust Trail and saw literally hundreds of thousands of people saved. Hudson Taylor was a water walker when he left England and went as a missionary to China and saw many, many things that God did in his mission. Many, many people saved. And some people say, "Well, yeah, preacher, all those are old guys. They lived in old times. They lived in Bible times. They lived back hundred years ago. God's changed since then." No, he's not. God hasn't changed. He's same yesterday, today, forever. He said, "I am the Lord. I change not." The same God who called Moses, summoned Joshua, strengthened Samson, instructed Gideon, challenged David, answered Elijah, protected Daniel, insulated Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is our God. He has not changed. We've changed. We've changed. It's like the man and woman sitting in the car driving. Man on this side, woman on this side. The woman looks over at her husband and says, "Honey, do you remember when we first got married? How we used to sit real close together?" And he looked over at her and said, "I haven't moved." God hasn't moved. Hasn't moved. Hasn't moved. He's the same place he's always been. Same place he's been for all eternity, same place he will be for all eternity. And I was thinking about Peter, and I thought, you know, I wish I could be like Peter. I wish I could get out of the boat in the middle of a storm, walk on water, do something big for God. And I thought, what allowed Peter to do it? What allowed him to get out of that boat and walk on water to Christ? Three things. Number one, he prayed. He prayed. Verse 28, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." You know one reason we don't have water walkers today? We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. Prayer's not a ritual. It's not a formula. It's not just saying the Lord's Prayer. It's asking for something from God, begging for something from God, and keeping on praying until God gives it to them. You know, every Sunday school teacher in this church, and we have some great Sunday school teachers, but every Sunday school teacher could double the size of their class. Double it. Brian, you had a great crowd in junior church today. But you know, you could double it. We had the building full today almost, 180 people. But you know what? We ought to double it. We ought to double it. I mean, you think we got problems with the bathrooms now? We ought to have more problems than we have now. We ought to have a system where you got to take a number and make an appointment. I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. We're going to fix that before long. But what I'm saying, I'm preaching to myself tonight. I just want you to listen in. You know, yeah, our attendance has gone up. Should we be satisfied? No. 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 Should we be happy? Yeah, I'm happy. But I shouldn't say, hey, okay, we filled up the building, now we can quit. We got to fill it up again. We could go to two services. I told God, I said, God, I look at those guys. I said, I haven't done nothing. Not a thing. And if we would learn how to pray, if we'd learn how to get a hold of God, I'm not talking about God is good, not as God is great. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about prayer, the continual prayer that where the Bible says pray without ceasing, where we want something so much from God that we beg him and beg him and beg him and beg him over and over and over, and it consumes us, it eats at us. And every waking moment, it's on our heart and it's on our mind. And every waking moment, we ask God to use us more and more and more and more. Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Book of James says, we have not because we ask not. And one of the reasons that we don't have more water walkers today, and again, I'm preaching to myself tonight, you just listen in. One of the reasons that we don't have more water walkers today is we don't know how to pray. We don't pray like that. We pray, but we don't pray like that. He prayed. Number two, he got out of the boat. Bible says in verse 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he said, Lord, if it's really you, let me come unto you. And Jesus said, okay, come on. Peter said, okay, I'm coming. He got out of the boat. I don't know how he got out. I don't know if he stuck his big toe in the water. I don't know if he threw a paddle or something overboard to see if it would float. I don't know. I think he just sort of took a... I don't think he took a flying leap off the boat. I think he took a confident step of faith. I think he just stepped off the side of the boat and in faith started walking toward Christ. I'm sure there were some on the boat, some of the other disciples, and said, Peter... I can hear Thomas, you know, the doubter. Peter, are you sure? Are you sure? I'm sure Matthew, the tax collector, said, Peter, have you counted the cost? I'm sure there were some other disciples that said, hey, Peter, this has never been done before. I mean, the one that's doing it now is the only one that we've ever heard of that's walked on water. And he's God. He's the one that can calm the storm. You're just a man. Peter, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to try this? Didn't stop him. He got out of the boat. We don't have water walkers today because most of us don't want to get out of the boat. We're safe and we're comfortable in what God has given us. We look up to heaven and say, man, God's blessed us. And he has. I don't want to diminish anything that he's done. My point, again, in preaching to myself tonight, don't be satisfied. God could do more. He could do more. He could fill up this place twice, three times. And again, you say, preacher, are you only interested in numbers? No, I'm interested in numbers because they represent souls. I've been brokenhearted because we haven't had anybody saved other than the little girl in junior church. Breaks my heart. We ought to see people walking the aisle. We ought to see people getting saved. I say to myself, maybe there's nobody getting saved because there's nobody lost there. And then I look in the mirror and say, why is there nobody lost there? Why haven't you gone out and find him? He got out of the boat. We sometimes lose sight of what faith is. Peter paints a pretty good picture for us in this story. Jesus said, come on. And he did. He got out of the boat. He started walking toward Jesus. You see, I think too many of us would say, well, just maybe I was a little rash in making my request. Maybe I ought to think about this a little bit. I'm sure there were people in Joshua's army who said, Joshua, I mean, this is the plan. We're going to march around Jericho one time for 6 days and then seven times the seventh day, and the walls are going to fall down. Don't you think we ought to have a meeting about this and talk about it? I'm sure there were men in Gideon's army. Gideon, we don't have any weapons. We don't have swords. We don't have spears. You've given us a trumpet, a lantern or torch, and a pitcher to break. Come on, tell us how it's going to come out. And so many times we want God to show us the end of the road before we'll take the first step. We want to see the light at the end of the tunnel before we'll start down somewhere dark. That's not how God works. God says, hey, you take the first step, I'll show you the next one. You take the second step, I'll show you the third one. He's not going to show us what's at the end of the tunnel. That's not, I mean, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. If we have to see every place where God is leading us before we take the first step, then we'll never take a step, because that's not the way God works. He wants us to have faith to take that step when we can't see where we're going. Peter got out of the boat. He didn't worry about sinking. He was being obedient to God. He stepped out expecting to walk on water. You ever done it before? No, he'd never done it before. There are things that God may ask you or I to do that we've never done before. And we would say to God, well, I can't do that. It's not my personality. I just can't do that. And I would remind you tonight, God never asks anybody to do anything that he hasn't prepared them to do. And again, I'll mention this morning, that's why he sends us through the storm sometimes, to get us ready to do something that we didn't think we could do. And until we go through the storm and see he's able and see he's capable and see that he can do what is impossible, we won't take the first step. He got out of the boat. And then number three, he was only successful as he kept his eyes on Jesus. As long as he did that, he stayed on top. As long as he kept his eyes on Christ, he stayed on top of the water. The Bible says, though, that when he started looking around and when he saw the storm and when he saw the waves, he was afraid and began to sink. And as Peter was walking on water, as all water walkers have to learn, it's not them that's doing it. It's God that's doing it. And when we take our eyes off him, and when we start thinking that we're doing it, then the same thing's going to happen to us. We're going to sink. We're going to sink. We're not going to succeed. We're going to fail. But as long as we keep our eyes on him and realize he is the source of our power and he is the source of what's happening, we can do what he's called us to do. I read sometime that somebody said, Jesus let Peter walk on water to shut up the other disciples. He let him sink to shut up Peter. I've often wondered if the other disciples looked back to that day and said to themselves, I wonder if I could have done that. I wonder if I could have walked on water like Peter did. Yeah, it was only for a brief time, but he walked on water. I wonder if I could have done that. I don't want to get to the end of my life, and I don't want you to get to the end of your life and ask the question, I wonder if I could have done more for God. I wonder if I could have told more people about Jesus. I wonder if I could have brought more people to church to hear the Sunday school lesson, hear a sermon about how to get saved. I wonder if I could have reached more in my family. I wonder if I could have reached more of my neighbors. I wonder if I could have reached more of the people I worked with. I don't want you to get to the end of your life and ask that question. I want to get to the end of my life, and I want you to get to the end of your life, and I want you to say, I gave it my best. I gave it my best. I prayed. I got out of the boat, and I did what God wanted me to do. I did what he wanted me to do. I was challenged. Coca-Cola. More important than the gospel. Coca-Cola. To a village. How many years before? I don't know. But there before somebody went and told them that Jesus loved them and died for them. We have a commission to take the gospel to every creature in the world. And we need to start praying about it. And we need to get out of the boat. And we need to do things that up until this point we thought have been impossible. But God can do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sometimes not just stepping on our toes, but stomping on them. Breaking our hearts. And I pray that we would catch a fresh vision of the kind of God that you are. Omnipotent, all-powerful. A God that can do the impossible. A God that's not limited by what man thinks. I pray, Father, that we would catch that vision. And then we'd attempt great things for you. And see you do great things. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ tonight, I pray that they see their sin and they see that Jesus is the only hope that they have. He is the answer. He's still the answer for that peace they lack in their life. Speak to Christians tonight, Father. Just do in our lives what you know needs to be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.